Welcome to the Deep Dive. Imagine this, a
Perfect.
community. Yeah. They're just coming out of this period of really deep spiritual reflection. And they're facing this huge task, not just rebuilding walls, like actual physical walls, but rebuilding who they are, their relationship with God. How do you take that, you know, that moment of intense spiritual renewal and make it stick and make it real, lasting change? That's the story, the really powerful story we find in Nehemiah chapter 10. It's ancient scripture, sure, but it holds some surprisingly practical wisdom for us today. So our mission really is to figure out how these ancient promises can genuinely inspire us, like in our modern lives, how they can encourage obedience, strengthen our faith. Let's dig in. Okay, so picking up right after that time of confession and spiritual awakening we talked about, Nehemiah 10 basically lays out this incredible commitment from the people of Israel. And it wasn't just like an emotional high that fades, right? This was formal, signed, sealed, written down.
Yeah, exactly. Names put to paper. It really solidified their collective decision to follow God's ways. And what's really fascinating, I think, is just how many people were involved. It wasn't just Nehemiah, you know, the governor or a few leaders making the call. Sure, the covenant was sealed by priests, Levites, the chiefs of the people. Their names are all listed meticulously. Shows the leadership was fully on board.
Okay.
But the text really stresses that the rest of the people, and this is so important, included everybody. Porters, singers, the Nethinim.
Or the Nethinim again? Temple servants.
Temple servants, basically, yeah. Often people dedicated to helping the Levites, maybe even former exiles. And it included all those who'd separated themselves from the surrounding cultures to follow God's law.
Right.
Plus their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone who had, and this is the phrase, knowledge and understanding, they all joined with their leaders.
Oh, wow. So anyone who could understand what was happening was part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They clave to their brethren and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law. I mean, this wasn't like signing an online petition.
No kidding. A curse and an oath sounds serious.
It was deeply serious. Binding themselves. There were real spiritual consequences understood if they broke their word. Imagine signing something today where your whole reputation, maybe even your family's future, was tied to keeping that promise.
Well, that puts it in perspective.
Right. It was this community-wide pledge. Obey God's commandments, judgments, statutes from Moses. A deep shared conviction. No one with understanding was left out.
That kind of collective buy-in, that sounds incredibly powerful. But what did it actually look like day to day? Was it just vague promises or did they get specific?
Oh, they got really specific. These pledges were anything but vague. First up, a clear social commitment. They said, we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons.
The intermarriage issue.
Exactly. It was a huge deal for them. Historically, you see, marrying outside the faith often led to, well, spiritual compromise, idolatry creeping in.
Right.
So this was about protecting their identity, their devotion, a clear boundary to keep their faith distinct from, you know, outside pressures.
Okay, so preserving spiritual distinctiveness.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What else? What other commitments did they make?
Then they made some really significant commitments about the Sabbath. They obviously recognized how important it was, not just for rest, but for their whole spiritual rhythm. They pledged that if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day.
Hmm. Practical. Resisting the temptation of the marketplace on the day of rest.
Very practical. It's easy to say, I'll rest, but harder when commerce is buzzing around you, right? So they agreed, we won't participate.
Yeah.
And they extended that idea. They agreed that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt.
Ah, the sabbatical year.
Yeah.
Rest for the land.
Rest for the land, yes, let it recover. But also, crucially, financial relief, canceling debts. It showed this really holistic view of rest, connecting it to economic justice and just, well, community well-being.
Okay, so social boundaries, Sabbath keeping.
Yeah.
But they also got into the nuts and bolts of supporting the temple, didn't they? Finances, resources. It seems like generosity was woven into their whole economic system.
Absolutely woven in. Their pledges were incredibly comprehensive, covered everything they produced, basically. They made ordinances to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God.
A third of a shekel?
Yeah.
How much was that, roughly?
A shekel was maybe half an ounce of silver, so a third, maybe a few days' wages for a common worker. Not a huge amount individually, perhaps, but consistent. A self-imposed annual tax.
Okay.
It really showed their collective ongoing commitment to funding the temple. And this money covered, well, everything. The showbread, that symbolic bread, always in the sanctuary.
Representing God's provision, right?
Exactly. And the continual daily offerings, the special offerings for Sabbaths, new moons, the set feasts, and importantly, the sin offerings, sacrifices for atonement, restoring that relationship with God. It covered, quote, all the work of the house of our God, making sure the temple could function as the absolute center of their spiritual life.
And it wasn't just money. You mentioned resources. They even cast the lot for the wood offering. That's incredibly detailed. Wood.
Yep, wood. To make sure there was always fuel for the altar, just like the law required. They didn't leave it to chance.
Okay, well.
And beyond wood, they committed to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord.
The first fruits. So giving God the very first and best, not the leftovers.
Precisely. It's this deep act of faith, acknowledging God as the source of everything, gratitude in action. And this extended further. The firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, all brought to the priest. Deeply symbolic acts of consecration. God owns it all ultimately.
Wow. Okay. So not just a portion, but the very first of literally everything.
Pretty much. And also the first fruits of our dough. Our offerings, the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, all brought to the priests, to the storerooms of the temple.
This is comprehensive.
Totally. And then, of course, the big one, the tithes. The tithes of our ground unto the Levites, making sure those serving God full time were provided for. And then the Levites themselves brought a tithe of the tithes into the temple treasury. It was this complete self-sustaining system.
A whole ecosystem of giving, really.
Exactly. Designed so that the spiritual heart of their community would never be neglected, but fully honored, fully maintained.
Which brings us back to that powerful line, that refrain.
Yeah.
We will not forsake the house of our God. All these specific actions, they all pointed to that one big goal, didn't they? Keep the connection strong, maintain that spiritual center.
Mm-hmm. That's the picture. Incredible commitment from ancient Israel. But, you know, for us, the real deep dive question becomes, okay, great story, but how does this ancient covenant, this agreement from thousands of years ago, how does it possibly connect to our lives, our faith, our struggles today?
Yeah.
Is it just history? Or is there some timeless wisdom we can actually use?
That's exactly what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Because when you look at how clear and specific they were.
Yeah.
It just feels so different from how we often approach things, you
yeah.
know? We tend to be a bit vague, maybe I'll try harder, I'll do better. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing that, were they?
No, not at all. And that, I think, raises a really important point for us for modern application. Maybe the first big takeaway is don't just make promises, make plans.
Mm, okay, make plans.
Yeah, it's just so easy to say, I want to get closer to God or I want to be more faithful. We all feel that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Nehemiah 10 kind of pushes back and asks, okay, but what specific tangible actions are you going to take? Think about building a house. You don't just want a strong house. You need blueprints, materials, cool. a schedule.
Right.
So for faith, maybe that means setting an alarm for prayer time, deciding what you'll pray about or which passage you'll read. If it's about giving, it's not just I'll give more, but maybe, okay, I'm going to budget this amount each month and I'll find these specific places to give it.
That intentionality.
Exactly. Moving from I hope to toward I will do this. That's what embeds faith into daily life, makes it resilient when things get busy or distracting.
That's a really powerful shift from intention to action plan. Something else that jumps out at me is how their spiritual renewal touched everything. It wasn't just church stuff.
No.
It was family, business, money, time, worship, even justice, like with the debt cancellation.
Yeah.
It was holistic.
Totally holistic. And that's the next lesson, I think. Faith touches everything.
Mm-hmm.
Your spiritual life isn't just this little box you open on Sunday morning. It's
yeah.
meant to flow into your work, your relationships, how you handle your money, how you rest. If you're a parent, how does faith shape how you parent? If you're in business, how does it affect your ethics, how you treat people?
Mm-hmm. Good questions.
It's about letting faith actually shape all those areas. Make it the guiding principle for your choices. When it does that, your faith gets stronger in every area because it's integrated. It's robust.
And thinking back to the beginning of the chapter, all those names listed, priests, Levites, leaders, the rest of the people.
Yeah.
They publicly recorded their commitment. It wasn't just a private thought.
Exactly. Which leads to another application for us. Write it down. Share it.
Okay.
Think about it. How many resolutions have we all made in our heads? New Year's, maybe, and they just fail.
Yeah.
Right. But when you actually articulate those goals, those spiritual intentions, maybe you journal them, maybe you talk about them with a trusted friend or your spouse or a small group, something changes.
It makes it more real.
It does. It's like putting a stake in the ground. It brings this subtle, or maybe not so subtle, accountability. Others know. They can encourage you. It turns an internal whisper into a shared goal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even just writing it down for yourself adds weight.
Absolutely. Makes it real trackable. Even if you don't have that perfect community support Nehemiah had, the act of writing creates commitment.
We also saw just how much focus there was on giving. First fruits, tithes, that annual shekel, even the wood. They clearly got that sacrificial giving was vital, not just an obligation, but fuel for their shared spiritual life.
And the modern takeaway there is pretty direct. Give intentionally. Nehemiah 10 shows us consistent sacrificial giving to sustain worship, support those in ministry, help others. It wasn't casual.
Not an afterthought.
Definitely not. So it prompts us to look at our own resources, our budget, but also our time, our talents.
Yeah.
What do our patterns of giving say about our priorities?
Ooh, challenging.
It is. But generosity isn't just a duty. It actively sustains worship, it builds community, and honestly, it changes you. It cultivates a heart that trusts in abundance, not scarcity. Strengthens your faith by putting your money where your heart is, so to speak.
And finally, that closing line again. We will not forsake the house of our God. It really hammers home that worship, their connection with God, was the absolute priority, not just something they fit in.
Right. It was the bedrock. Yeah. Something they actively chose to preserve, to cherish.
That's it for us.
It pushes us to prioritize worship.
Mm-hmm.
Don't treat time with God, personal prayer, reading scripture, communal worship, whatever that looks like for you. Don't treat it like leftovers.
Yeah, fitting it in if there's time.
Exactly. Instead, intentionally set aside time, dedicated space maybe, real energy. That's what keeps your life centered, you know, gives perspective in all the chaos. It strengthens that connection in a really profound way. If they saw the house of God as central, we need to find our spiritual center and give it the priority it deserves in our busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, Nehemiah 10 shows us that, well, obedience isn't just about rule following. It's about making intentional, specific commitments that genuinely shape every part of our lives. And when we make those choices, when we build those habits, especially with others in community, that's when faith really deepens. It gets strong. It moves from just an idea to something real, alive, tangible. It empowers us to walk more closely with God.
It's that mix, isn't it? Clear plans, applying it everywhere, and doing it together. That's what seems to make faith more than just an emotion, makes it a living reality that actually changes things.
Yeah.
It really encourages us to be deliberate, doesn't it? To actually put God at the center, practically speaking. It's amazing how this ancient wisdom speaks so directly to us now. What an incredible deep dive. From that ancient covenant to our modern plans, the message from Nehemiah 10 seems pretty clear. Deliberate faith is powerful faith. It's a great reminder that renewal isn't just about feeling something. It's about the choices, the habits, the community that keep God right there at the center, makes faith strong, resilient. So, thinking about all this, reflecting on Nehemiah 10, what specific actionable commitment will you make today to deepen your faith?